Poaching game from Sherwood Forest, it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast that fights against one world government. He wonders how the freight train engineer tells all the other locomotives what to do. It's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast once more. I assume it's once more. Maybe you're here for the first time. That'd be good, too. It's nice to meet you, if that is the case. The voice you just heard was my Canadian nephew, Drew McMillan, proud father of Nora McMillan and proud husband of Magda McMillan. That happy little family just grew by 50% a few days ago. Up in Barrie, Ontario, Canada. And we once again send out our congratulations because Drew, our announcer for these many months, is able to multitask. He can do the announcements for our little podcast here that we enjoy so much. He can do the hosting of the Canadian television show Powerboat TV, which Yanks can watch on the internet. Powerboattv.com would be the place to go there. You can watch Drew talk all about boats and trailers and trucks and things like that, interesting places to go in your boat. And in addition to that, Drew can record our intros. Oh, I've already mentioned that. He can also multiply. So he can make DNA copies of himself. So I think that's fantastic. My sister has never been happier. This is her first grandchild, and she is, I'm sure, hoping for many more. Now, what are we doing here? Well, we're here to help people through that transitional period from regular life to Medicare life as people decide to either turn 65 or they decide to leave their places of employment and go out to retirement start a new life or whatever. We help them decide what the best type of Medicare protection is. And Medicare protects people from horrifying costs of medical treatment, and the Medicare insurance that we discuss protects people from those costs. And we do that by virtue of the book that I write every year called Medicare for the Lazy Man, Simplest and Easiest Guide Ever. The one that's current this year has a red 2021 on the cover. That may seem like a familiar number to you. That would be because this is the year 2021. So the book typically corresponds with the year in which it has been released. We released it in December in preparation for people to read it during 2021. And frankly, people have been reading it. I couldn't be happier that it's getting the readership and the response that it's getting. We started the year with zero reviews, and we're in the mid-30s or thereabouts of five-star reviews. And those people are just, they seem to enjoy it, and it seems to be doing some good for humanity. And that's something that I'm sure my parents never expected when I was a little kid. Oh, this kid's going to just, you know, he's going to be a waste of oxygen. But no, I finally found something to do that helps out humanity. So along with me, the other helper of humanity that I have with me today is Randy Carson, podcast engineer and what else would you call yourself? Are you a raconteur of any kind?
Maybe a raconteur, maybe a dial twister. I really like the term dial twister.
And I'm going to try to remember that in the future.
Dial twister and technical engineer. Also, I've got to tell you, you know, the last time we visited on the podcast was mm-hmm. the first time that I was aware of Nora.
Yeah. So,
I have contacted the Heil technical staff, and they are busy trying to create a little tiny Nora-sized headset.
Wow. Now, it seems like that would be painful as she grows. Is her head going to be misshapen if she wears that headset for a couple of years?
It will have to be changed out regularly. Otherwise, her ears will be way too close.
Oh, boy. Yeah. But it's a wonderful thought, though. And frankly, it would be the first step on her way to stepping in for her father when we need, to continue the excellence in podcast content that we're trying to promote here. Drew is doing a wonderful job, but he's not getting any younger. And so eventually, one of his kids is probably going to have to step in and help him carry those heavy burdens.
And it's a good thing now that the audience knows, because when we're playing through the various intros that I love to listen to, if there happens to be a little sound in the background of a little tiny infant practicing her speeches and, basically introductions,
sure,
we'll know it's Nora.
Right, right. And she'll be following in big shoes. I want to say following in the footsteps of a renowned entertainer such as Drew McMillan. So a family dynasty may be born here.
Absolutely.
That's wonderful. I think that's fantastic. I just wish that Drew's siblings would show a little interest. So far, they've turned up their noses at any level of participation in what we're up to. But his brother and sister are certainly welcome to join us in our efforts if we can, get them to do that. But maybe that's never going to happen. Well, listen, I sent you some podcast checklists that we use to describe what's going to go on. Generally, they're blank. They don't do you a lot of good.
I look at them and I go, oh, good. It's just about like last week's.
Yeah. Why do I even bother? But
I don't know, man. I wonder sometimes.
But every once in a while, I think to myself, something, if I send them to him, then I'll have a pithy thought, not a pissy thought, but a pithy thought. And I decided that what I'm going to do, well, actually what happened was I was started out on what I thought was a pretty good track last time we were recording. And then what happened? The internet went dead on us. The whole
Yes.
World Wide Web just quit.
Yeah. And well, as far as I was concerned, you, Doug Jones, had dropped off the face of the earth.
Yeah, it was pretty sad. But then I got an email from my internet service provider saying, it's us. It's our fault. We'll fix it. Don't worry. But that didn't help Randy and I at the time. We had to go our separate ways and then wait until today to resume recording. So basically, I'm going to start over where I left off.
You know how my mind works, right?
Well, I'm not sure that it does, but let's say that it does for purposes.
It works in very strange ways. So when you sent me that email telling me that it's you, it was your internet provider, I'm sitting there going, okay, now let's think about this for a minute. They sent you an email letting you know that the internet was down. Okay, so, my brain says, okay, that's great. How are you supposed to get that email? And then I've had other situations where we have called and said, hey, we've tried to call and say our phone system's down, but we have no, and they say, well, you have to call in that ticket. I'm going, how can I do that?
I know it makes no sense at all, but I've stopped trying to understand these things. I'm just going with the flow. So when they send me an email telling me that I have no internet, I don't question it. I just, I can't, it would drive me insane. I'd be in a loony bin before you knew it.
So then if you called your internet provider and said, hey, my internet's down, they go, well, we sent you an email.
Yes. And then I would say, but the internet's down, so how could I get the email? And it would lead to a day long argument back and forth.
There's
no way.
Somebody on that help desk would have a justification as to why you are wrong.
Oh boy, I'll tell you something. I had a call from a telemarketer the other day, and I answer all the calls that come into my business phone because once in a while it's a customer, and I don't ever like to turn away customers. So I put up with a lot of faldy-rawl with the telemarketers, and my phone tries to warn me when there's a telemarketer, but it's not 100%. And so a woman called and asked me my name. And of course, I don't know what country they get these telemarketers from, but it's always Mr. Douglas.
Mr. Douglas.
How are you today? And I'm always thinking my three sons, you know. Yeah. And so, generally I try to get rid of them quickly, but this woman then said the magic word. She mentioned a company that I had approached about advertising my book and perhaps doing a little promotion with, and they soundly rejected me. And all of a sudden she's calling on behalf of that company. And so I said to myself, all right, don't get too excited, because they didn't hire an American to do this. They hired somebody with a country where they use last names first and first names last.
Yeah. So, in a place far, far away.
Exactly. So anyway, I'm kind of excited because it turns out that one of the telemarketers that I normally have to get rid of actually has something valuable to offer me, because she said, I'm calling on behalf of this company. And I perked up and brightened up. And I said, hey, I love that company. I want to know more. And so she arranged for a conference call between me and some company representative. Maybe it'll be the janitor. Maybe it'll be somebody with check writing authority. I don't know, but I'm pretty excited about it. So I'll report back if that turns out to be something we can sink our teeth into.
That'll be great fun, because you never know. Joe Namath might pop up there somewhere.
Well, Joe Namath, I'm hoping that he would pop up in the guise of one of these clown balloons with a weighted bottom, so you can punch him in the nose and he comes right back for more.
Oh, I love those things. Do they still sell? I love those things when I was a kid.
Well, no more. The lawyers have determined that you could be hurt and you might sue somebody. And so they first started making them with stickers all over them saying, do not hit here, you know, and do not harm this toy or it will harm you. Then they finally just decided it wasn't worth it to stay in business anymore because of the lawyers, the overactive lawyers with too much time on their hands. And so that's just like I told you, I've got a creeper that I get on. It's got four wheels. I lay on it. It's really low to the garage floor.
Now, I don't remember just exactly what the warning is, but okay, tell me, because I know it's going to be seriously out there and stupid.
Well, I have to preface this by saying it's in the shape of a bone, because it's wide at the shoulders and like Big Bad John, it's narrow at the hip. But you lay on this thing and it looks like a bone. And the name of it, the brand, is the Bonester. And the sticker on it says, do not eat any part of this device. Now, it's made out of plastic and the wheels are steel. So I don't know what eating would be done with this thing. It would be very unpleasant. If somebody tried to eat it, I don't think it would hurt them. They would give up. They would say, this doesn't taste like any food I've ever had before.
No, it tastes like a Bonester.
So I don't know how much a lawyer got paid for recommending that they buy a million stickers and stick them on the sides of these things, but it really insults my intelligence. Because who is the person out there who thinks that I'm dumb enough to actually want to eat this thing? Then it's not going to work very well. Let's say I eat half of it. It's not going to function properly anymore. And what am I going to do? Ask for a refund with half of it eaten? I don't think so.
All right. So I'm going to tell you one more similar warning sticker, and then we best get after it.
All right.
So the warning sticker is, and you've probably seen these, Every hair blower in the world.
By the way, is it Christmas at your house? Did you hear those bells?
Oh, no, it's not Christmas.
Human nature. There were bells, Christmas bells going off behind you, and you didn't even know what was happening. Yep.
No kidding. So, gosh. Let me go look and see if Santa's here.
Well, wait. Tell me the story first.
Okay. Well, the story is every hair blower known to mankind now has a label on it. Don't use in the shower.
Yeah. Because that used to be hear those bells?
Oh, yeah, I did hear that. I think Santa's here.
Well, I can't wait to hear what you get for Christmas, but let's finish up what we're doing here. Oh, why do people use hair dryers in the shower? Aren't they?
I don't know.
Continually getting the hair wet?
Well, you have to have one hell of a hair blower, because you're standing underneath a shower, thing.
Yeah, it's never going to dry the hair. You're adding water to the hair.
You'd have to have a hair blower that, you know, the size of Cleveland with a 45 horse motor. Absolutely. And then you still wouldn't get it.
No. And, you know, we're not even talking about the safety factor of standing in the water holding a 110 appliance. Jesus. Well, I'll tell you something. I've been trying to help a friend get a European device working on American current. And it reminded me of my brother talking to some European one time where they have 220. We have 110 for all of our appliances here. In Europe, they use 220 volt current. And a European said, you know, if you get shocked with 110 volt, basically often your hand is stuck to the appliance and you have a hard time letting go to break the connection and save your life. And he said, in Europe, it's much safer because when you accidentally touch a 220 volt open circuit, it basically knocks you across the room. And he said, that's much safer. So
is that safer?
That's what his opinion was. I'm not sure I agree with that. But once again, my brother wandered the world collecting opinions from people. And that may be one of the least valuable that he did. But I just wanted to clear off some of this pile of garbage on my desk. And when I say garbage, I use that term in the most loving manner because it's all valuable in different ways. Most of it's correspondence that I'd like to share with the audience. Some of it illustrates the things that I bump into on a regular basis, and other correspondence that I have here opens up new horizons. But I'm going to just deal with it in the order I've got it piled up. Last time I started this and then the internet shut down on me. I don't know if it was all over the world or just in my backyard, but here is what I was talking about then. I have a wonderful new customer, actually a couple, and they're in East Texas. It's Becky and her husband. And Becky is a medical professional. So she has really, I mean, she did sign up. She decided to purchase her Medicare coverages from me, but not without making sure that she wasn't barking up the wrong tree. So she and I went back and forth. She had a million questions. I had a million answers. And she seemed to understand that my answers were a combination of experience, acquired knowledge and opinion. And so eventually she tracked with me 100%. She said, okay, I agree that you should be our agent because I think you've got our best interests at heart. And I think that was a wonderful thing. So we've had a lot of correspondence over the last couple of months. And she was a medical, basically a surgical technician. And then she decided to climb the ladder in her particular hospital. So she wound up talking about Dr. DeBakey, and Dr. Michael DeBakey was a famous heart surgeon back in, I don't know, I want to say the 70s, maybe the 80s. He might even have been the first American who did a heart transplant in the United States. All I remember DeBakey for was that the clamps, the hemostatic clamps that were used for roach clips back when I was in college. And, you know, God knows if any of those ever wound up in an operating room or a surgical theater. But when I hear the name DeBakey, I'm thinking of roach clips. Anyway, she then went on to say, weirdly enough, I was with a group of women tonight who were, and I thought she said quitters. So I was thinking, what is she in rehab? But in reality, she used the word quilters and I just misread it. So she said, I'm a quilter too. And I was with these women. And so I happened to mention to them that I was about to become a Medicare participant. And she said, so we talked about it for a little bit. And one of the women mentioned that her husband was on Medicare Plan F. Now, for those of you who are older in the audience or who recall that Plan F was the single most popular Medicare supplement plan because it paid for everything, every medical expense that was approved by Medicare. There was no copay, there was no coinsurance, there was no excess doctor's fees, none of that stuff. Plan F paid for everything, and it was pretty reasonably priced. It was a very popular plan, and a high percentage of the people buying Medicare supplements every year purchased Plan F. And then in their infinite wisdom, our legislators decided to try to save a few bucks. So they instituted a deductible, a Part B annual deductible that's going to be growing a little bit every year, which is going to contribute to the increasing premium on everyone's Medicare supplements. So the law is that after anybody born before 1955 can still get Plan F, but they are not going to want to because the insurance companies, I believe, are overreacting and the prices for Plan F are rising very, very quickly. The rich, current richest plan, the one that I have to recommend if people want a security. Holy crap. Jeez. Well, I asked Randy to keep me on the straight and narrow today, and it turns out I'm in jail. I'm in podcasting jail. So
You have been
visiting hours apparently are very close to being over, and I haven't even gotten started with my thought here. Anyway, she has an acquaintance whose husband has Medicare supplement Plan F, has had it for a long time. His health has deteriorated, and that removes his options to move to a different, better priced Medicare supplement plan, because in most places, including Texas, you have to fill out a medical questionnaire in order to qualify for a new company or a new plan. And this woman's husband has the best plan there was, but now he is stuck with it and the prices are going sky high and they don't know what to do. And so I'm shortening things drastically here because of those darn crickets. Her question was, do Advantage plans check health history? I know Medicare supplement plans do because there are medical or there are questionnaires that people have to fill out if they want to move to a different company that has a better priced product. And my answer is no. When you get to the point where your health is deteriorated to the point where you don't have any options left and your Plan F is going sky high in cost and it's getting to be really painful to pay that premium every month, it might be time for you to think about going to a Medicare Advantage plan. The only alternative to that is moving to one of the few states that's going to give you guaranteed issue. And there are various reasons not to do that. You might get a better deal on Medicare, but a worse deal on other types of things like property taxes. But anyway, her question is, could this guy find a solution to his problems by moving to a Medicare Advantage plan? And my response is, yes, he could. If his health is deteriorated to the point that he's probably not doing much traveling, and he probably has specialists that are able to keep a lid on or keep a keep control on his particular medical problems, then it might be good to find out what Advantage plans those specialists are contracted with and think seriously about getting out from under the ever-increasing cost of the Plan F and going to a Medicare Advantage plan as a solution to, the rising cost. He's probably not going to be using some of the advantages as exuberantly as he would have, the flexibility of finding new doctors and moving around the country and all that stuff. So her question has a lot of validity. Yeah, that could be one solution that one might suggest. And we heard those crickets, and that means that we should be winding things down. I don't know how that happened so fast, but I guess it was all the fascinating conversation we had earlier about dial twisting and
dial twisting
and tech engineering.
I'm the head dial twister. And apparently the Medicare Advantage people are circling my house because every camera alarm that I have is going off. So it's not Santa. It's the Medicare Advantage people.
Joe out there waiting to give you your present?
It could be, but I don't think so.
I don't know why that commercial gets so much traction. I don't know whether it's because he looks weird or is it the promises he makes or whatever. But I remember when I was a youth and I was, of course, my family was with the John Hancock long before I was born. They came up with the put your John Hancock on a John Hancock jingle that was sung by a men's choir, theoretically standing in front of the John Hancock Institute in Boston. And we just cringed with embarrassment. And it was only later that we learned that that was the single most recognizable advertisement running in America for several years. When people said, what is the ad that you remember last watching on your television? That men's choir singing, put your John Hancock on a John Hancock life insurance policy, was fresh in everybody's minds. And it's hard to say fresh. I'm thinking it was stinking up the joint, but it did what it was supposed to do. It helped people remember the company and what they were selling. So anyway, Joe is probably doing what he's supposed to do, which is attracting people.
It's
dial that number. Yeah,
probably is. Yeah. Hey, so what was your most, well, obviously you were in the insurance biz with Hancock, but so was that your most memorable jingle?
Since so many people knew I was with the Hancock, they would laugh and point at me. It is the most memorable, but there were other jingles too. I mean, look at all the, when we were kids, commercials lasted a minute on a television show or longer than that. So I was fascinated by Johnny Carson having Ed McMahon feed Alpo to his strange dogs.
Yeah.
And cigarette commercials. Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of talk, but I guess my favorite ones were the Kraft commercials, where they would actually prepare a dish by mixing a bunch of ingredients in front of the camera during like a minute or a 90 second commercial. And my mouth would just water. I would drool on myself as they manufactured some sort of dish that then they would pop into the oven and
come out bubbling hot and tasty. Right.
Did you have a favorite?
Well, you're going to think I'm living in another part of the world, but
too late. What do you do?
I like the Alka-Seltzer kid.
Oh,
you know, with the Alka-Seltzer hat.
Was it Speedy Alka-Seltzer?
Speedy Alka-Seltzer. Okay. Yeah. And then there was one other ad where it was specifically a Christmas ad where the Santa would slide down the hill on the Norelco heads.
I was thinking about that myself. Norelco was kind of new to the shaver market at that point.
Yeah.
And it was an unusual design, having those little round heads.
Yes, it was definitely an un-American design that they had to convince us to use.
Just like Japanese cars, people eventually embraced them, and now you can't find an American design to save your soul.
Oh, dear. Well, we need to sign off here, land the plane, we probably should start that process. I would definitely want to thank everybody in the audience today and also encourage everyone to go to Amazon.com, pick up several copies of Doug's 2021 book. And if not having several at your own home, you know, on every coffee table you have, then give them to your family. I think it's a great, great opportunity to communicate things about Medicare that people just don't want to know. And Doug presents them in a really understandable, knowledgeable, and straightforward way.
And as a cliffhanger, the next episode is going to have exciting news about the audiobook. I can't wait to share it with you. But
no kidding.
Yes, it's going to. Oh, you're going to be so excited to hear this response to my latest demand for information. I can't wait to share it.
I think I'm being set up, but I'll definitely look forward.
Well, and so the audience has been admonished to buy the book, Amazon.com. Buy the one with the red 2021 on the cover. It's only $8. We did that magic by pulling the color out of the interior illustrations, and it's all black and white now. Same content, less color, more money in your pocket.
And the next version, now I'm teasing people, so the audience doesn't think this is really going to happen, but we could take all of the printing out of the middle and just have, you know, blank pages.
Well, I think maybe a better solution would be to send people that want color, that insist on color, over to Barnes & Noble. Because it's almost the same price at Barnes & Noble to get a color version. And so if you insist upon color, then go to Barnes & Noble and buy the book. Otherwise, stay at Amazon, buy the book, and then write a short little review after you read it. Now, you might hate it, So you might be giving it a negative review. I don't really encourage that. I would prefer that you gave it a positive review or zero reviews. But as you read the other reviews that are there, I think you'll see that most people that leave reviews are impressed with the book. It's been helpful to them, and I'm hoping it's helpful to you, the new reader. So anyway, we should probably think about pulling the plug on this one, huh? Like we did last time.
We should. Yes, we have just spent about 32 and a half minutes all together around the metaphorical coffee table with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance insurance guy. Okay, the landscapers are down at my house today. We're going to sign off right now. Bye.